Shilling Show continues. David Murata is our guest here each and every month, the president of Murata Wealth Management, online at murataonmoney.com. And today's topic is corporate tax rates and why they should be lowered. David, I think that we're dealing with an awful lot of, I don't mean to be derisive, but economic illiteracy. And I had kind of teased this out by saying if people really want to get up to speed in understanding economics and just some basic principles of economics, that you could probably recommend a couple of good books.
I could. The best recommendation I have is a book called Basic Economics by Thomas Sowell. Thomas Sowell is an incredible thinker. If you read four of his books and you're still a liberal, I will be surprised. but most liberals won't read his books. They'll read the Huffington Post or the Atlantic rather than reading Thomas Sowell. If people were and understood the unintended consequences of basic economics, I think much more of the population would be in support of lowering taxes and smaller government and greater freedoms and all the things that that libertarians are normally for, because it makes the best sense and it actually makes all of us richer when the society has more economic freedom.
Let's go to the concept of corporations. This is something that many of us studied in school a long time ago, but let's remind people what a corporation is and what it is not.
Yeah, a corporation is just a legal entity which acts a lot like a person, except there can be multiple owners of the corporation. And the corporation has usually a goal and a mission, and they're usually trying to do something, some kind of profit, some kind of service, some kind of production. And it gets taxed separately from individuals. So corporations in the United States pay a top federal tax rate of 35%, plus a state tax rate as high as 10.54% in California, for a total corporate tax rate of 45.54%.
Ouch.
That's a lot. The United States has the highest corporate tax rate in the industrialized world. We have the third highest corporate tax rate of any country, but all of the countries that have corporate tax rates as high as the United States are not industrialized. So we're up there with Puerto Rico and the United Arab Emirates and Argentina. You don't want to be with Argentina when it comes to economics. You know, Chad, Congo, Equatorial Guinea. Zambia. These are the countries that have corporate tax rates of 35% or higher. Japan used to be up there, and Japan has lowered their corporate tax rate so that now we're the highest industrialized nation's corporate tax rate. And part of the reason why Japan lowered their corporate tax rate is because Japan has been doing miserably in the world markets because they've had a high corporate tax rate and they have low economic freedom.
Let's talk about the case study of Japan. Where were their rates? Where are they now? And what has happened in the interim since the rates have been lowered?
Japan's experiment with lowering tax rates is just beginning. It's yet to be seen. So they used to have a corporate tax rate that was up as high as 50%. Again, ours can be as high as 45%. So we were just below them. I did run across an interesting article on corporate tax rates by The Atlantic, and it was an amazing admission for The Atlantic to make. They said, we actually have some case studies for countries lowering their corporate tax rate and how it worked. So they said, well, look, we can just look at those and see whether it works or not. And they had their article was, would cutting corporate tax rates really grow the economy? And they were kind of a derisive headline. And so they said, so how did lowering corporate tax rates work out for Ireland and Britain? Was the policy a boon to their economies? Did it create the growth spurt that developed Western economies are desperately seeking these days? The short answer is perhaps, but that doesn't mean it would work for the United States, which I thought was an amazing admission. At least they said, yes, it did work for Ireland and Great Britain. It generally works. If you look at the Heritage Foundation's Index of Economic Freedom, countries with more economic freedom have higher GDP growth, period. It's a correlation that is really undisputed because they have a ranking of every country in the world from the most free country economically, which is Hong Kong, number one, all the way down to, I think it's in the 350s or something, North Korea. And you can tell that those countries which are free or mostly free generally do better than the rest of the world, and that more freedom results in more GDP growth. We've had slow GDP growth in the United States for the past while, And it correlates to the fact that in 2010, we dropped out of the free category and into the mostly free category. Now, we are still one of the freest countries on earth, but we are not as free as we used to be in 2009. A lot of things happened between, say, 2008 going forward, and we gradually eroded our economic freedoms, and we are now in the top of the mostly free category, but we're not where we used to be. And there's a lot of countries with better GDP growth, better stock market returns, and better economies and better employment.
David, we got about a minute left in this segment. We'll come back and continue the conversation. But what are some of the things that contributed to our falling rank since the 2008 to now?
Yeah, so Obamacare certainly hurt. Mm. Socializing medicine certainly hurt. The tax increases associated with Obamacare hurt us. The high corporate tax rate has always hurt us. It's one of the things that's always caused us to be at the low end of the free category. Our corruptibility index was increased when the bailout money had no accounting and no one knows where it went. That kind of shenanigans by the government. When the government did cash for clunkers, that hurt our economic freedom. And when they bailed out General Motors, that actually hurt our economic freedom as well. All of that kind of government intervention in the economy actually sounds really good, and then it makes it worse for all of us.
Yeah, you brought up cash for clunkers. I'd forgotten what a clunker that was. How ridiculous. All right, it's 12:28 here on The Shilling Show. Coming back on the other side with more of David Morata, we welcome your comments, questions, challenges. Maybe you think we can tax ourselves into prosperity. We'd love to hear from you. 977-1070 is the phone number of The Shilling Show. We'll be back in just a moment. Tuesday edition of The Shilling Show. Gosh, we're so rapidly approaching Christmas. I do give you a program reminder that Christmas with Carolyn Robb, our annual Christmas caroling. Christmas music will be taking place on Christmas Eve Eve, which is a Friday this year. And so just prepare, get your hot chocolate and your cookies out. We're going to have a great time. If you have any song suggestions, things you'd like to hear us sing, we would love to hear from you. You can send me an email, robs@wina.com. And I'll forward it on to Carol Thorpe, who is the musical director of that segment of The Shilling Show. 977-1070 is the phone number. We continue with David Morata, and we're talking about why corporate tax rates should be lowered. I want to talk a little bit before we get into some more of the details, David, about the genesis of corporate taxation. So when did all this kick into gear? And I would imagine that it has probably ramped up over the years.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at tax rates. Since corporations act like individuals, mm-hmm. the taxes all started with the taxation of the income tax back in 1913-1917 mm-hmm. era. And before that, if you think about it, before that, it was none of the federal government's business what you made or what corporations made. Most of our taxes prior to that were import and export taxes, so there were tariffs, mm-hmm. and the entire federal government lived off the tariff income, and you did not need to report what you earned to the government, which is a strange concept for us today, where we have to fill out massive, you know, tax returns. Mine is about 110 pages and contains so much complexity, it's ridiculous.
Even Albemarle County is mining people for data on the pencils that they own in their office.
Yes, they are. And it's amazing if you think about how much work goes into complying with the federal government's and the state government's taxation principles. First, you fill out your federal return, and then you adjust everything to fill out your state return, and it's very complex. Liberals think that a lot of things are none of the government's business, and conservatives think that a lot of things are none of the government's business, including my business is none of the government's business.
Right.
Which is if you think about it, imagine if you had to – we're going to just pick something crazy on the liberal side – imagine if you had to report every time you kiss someone to the federal government, and you had to keep a log, and they wanted to know that, and they wanted you to report all that information. Liberals would be up in arms. That is none of the government's business. Mm-hmm. And the CDC doesn't need to know that for the transmission of disease or whatever the principles are. Well, conservatives feel the same way about business, that it's really none of the government's business about what we make and what we don't make. And that kind of intrusion into all of the personal details of our businesses is really not appropriate. Having said that, we also think that they take too much, and
yes.
that's the other piece that really annoys people who have an economic freedom bent. You know, we talked earlier, the corporate tax rate could be high if you live in California, it could be as high as 45.54%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the corporate tax rate. And after they pay that tax rate, then they have to distribute profits to their shareholders, who can also get taxed at a 52.9% rate, which is a federal personal rate of 39.6 plus a top California rate of 13.3.
What's left?
Well, the government would collect 74.35%, and a little over 25% would be left for the hardworking business owner who first gets taxed at a corporate tax rate and then gets taxed at a personal tax rate.
You know, that's horrible.
It's horrible.
It's confiscatory, and it should never be. Yet it's broken up to all these little pieces, and a lot of people don't see it.
People think we can soak the rich. Some people mm-hmm. think we should take 90% of what the rich make. So if we're only taking 74.35%, hey, we're leaving with more than I think they should have.
They should be grateful, right?
Right. So I don't know that liberals understand small business owners. We work with a lot of small business owners mm-hmm. because with great complexity comes great opportunity to try to save on your taxes. And if we can work off 1% of a small business owner's taxes, it's a huge amount, because sometimes the entire corporate taxes flow onto their tax return. If it's a C corp, you have double taxation. If it's an S corp, the entire tax return falls onto you personally, despite the fact that all those corporate taxes that are being paid aren't really going into your pocket. You're just being stuck with the tax bill.
So let's help people understand why soaking the rich or sticking it to the rich, which in essence the Democrat Party adheres to, and the occupiers and all that, why that is bad economic policy.
Yeah, it's a great question, and if they understood, if after this they still think you should soak the rich, if after this explanation you think they still should just soak the rich, it's because they're mean-spirited socialists. It's not because they don't understand economics. So the most important thing is that corporations don't pay tax. People pay tax, and so corporations can only pay tax in one of three ways, which all result in taxing individuals. First, they can pay employees less. This is trickle-down taxation. Mm-hmm. Most people don't understand this, but if you start soaking a company, you would see the owner simply adjust salaries such that he can pay the tax, and the employees can pay the tax out of some of theirs, and he'll keep the ratio between his pay and the employee pay the same. Mm-hmm. So the more and more you put onto him, the more and more he has to reduce their wage. Now, it will look like the income inequality is getting greater, because his before-tax income will be very, very high, such that his after-tax income still has the same ratio with their after-tax income. So if we had trickle-down taxation, you would see the rich getting richer, but only before taxes. Mm-hmm. You would see income inequality growing, and you would see the middle class wages losing against inflation, which is exactly what we've experienced as you've put more and more taxes onto owners.
Okay, so we've got pay employees less. The next one is what?
And the pay employees less, can you imagine someone saying, you should really soak my employer because that will be good for me?
Well, anybody with a brain would never say that, because they understand the direct connection.
Right.
But all of us are connected in that way. So even if it's your neighbor's employer who's getting soaked, when you go into the store to purchase a loaf of bread or something, you're going to pay for it.
Yep, and that's the second one. Corporations can adjust prices so that the customers pay the tax. So can you imagine someone saying, please soak the stores I shop at, because that will be good for me? It's not. And if they were doing that, you would see, again, the middle class wages losing against inflation because prices would be going up. And the third one is you can reduce shareholder compensation. So that would be pension funds and retirement accounts would just make less. And if that were happening, you would see a slowed growth rate in the U.S. Gross domestic product, which we've seen. And the cry for that would be, please soak the companies I'm invested in, because that will be good for my retirement plan. And again, if you can just hear soak the rich, if you can just hear soak the rich with that in mind,
yeah,
please soak my employers, the stores I shop at, and the companies I'm invested in, then you won't be so quick to say, oh, that's great, it won't affect me. And I think the thing that troubles me the most by the media in this whole affair is in elections, they keep saying people are voting against their self-interest when they vote for people who are going to lower taxes on the wealthy. They're not voting against their self-interest. There's a lot of people who don't make a lot of money who know that soaking the rich is bad for the country as a whole, and they're just against it on that principle. Because soaking the rich doesn't help poor people. Soaking the rich simply helps government grow bigger, and a bigger government is not a more efficient government. So there's a sense in which if you just keep throwing money at a wasteful bloat of government mm-hmm. who wastes it and doesn't spend it properly and just loses it, that's just a drag on the economy, and it's a drag on all of us.
You know, you think about this, and we've got members of the listening audience who are involved in the trades, but I mean, who is it that's hiring the people that are stonemasons or people that are building boats or doing fine carpentry? I mean, there's a whole class of people that is being supported by the money of people who happen to be wealthy and hire these craft-skilled people to do the work. And if those people have no expendable income because it's all getting taken from the government, there's a whole nother class of people that just get squashed or driven out of business.
It's true. Prosperity in the United States lifts all boats. A rising tide lifts all boats. That's an economic principle. John F. Kennedy tried to make that popular when he was lowering corporate tax rates. And everyone said, you're giving money to the rich. And he said, no, you cannot have an economy in which high taxes make growth unwieldy. And then Ronald Reagan lowered corporate tax rates in the early 1980s. We had the boom of the 80s, a great growing economy, and that again added a lot to the economy. When we raise taxes, you see that the economy slows, and it slows because all that government spending doesn't help the economy. And so for many voters who understand economics, lowering the corporate tax rate is their number one issue that they're going to pick when they pick a candidate. And I think it's important, having just had an election in which we had two candidates, and one was talking about lowering corporate tax rates, and the other one was opposed to lowering the corporate tax rate, I think that's an important distinction between the two. And between politician promises, lowering the corporate tax rate even by 1% makes more difference than all of the other promises that they make and then fail to keep. Actually lowering the corporate tax rate by 1% is really important. Most people suggest that lowering the corporate tax rate from 35% to 13% mm-hmm. is what's needed. It would be a corporate tax rate reduction of 20%, and estimates are that it would boost GDP by about 4.3%. Bear in mind, we haven't had GDP growth by more than 2% in a long time, so that's been a huge slow drag on the economy. In fact, I worked out the calculations on that study, and a 1% in the corporate tax rate would boost GDP by about 0.21%. Mm. That doesn't sound like much, but that's actually a fairly significant increase in GDP growth.
977-1070 is the phone number. One segment left with David Marotta. We're talking about why corporate tax rates should be lowered. We'll come back and conclude the conversation on the other side in just a moment.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply.
Yeah, one of the long-haired freaky people right here with you on the final segment of the Shilling Show with David Marotta. 977-1070 is the phone number. We're talking about corporate taxation and some of the economic illiteracy that abounds in America. Let's go to the phones and say hello to Gary. Gary, welcome to the Shilling Show.
Thanks, Rob. I have a kind of an uneducated question. I read a lot of 990 forms for nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wonder if nonprofits get taxed, because sometimes I see activist organizations that are nonprofits, but I really am a little suspicious of their nonprofit status. They seem to pay big salaries to their people, their employees, and use a nonprofit shield to get away from it. If they were corporations, I wonder if they have a different take on a American taxation system, and I'll just hang up and listen.
All right, Gary, nice to hear from you. Let's get a response.
Nonprofits have to pay tax on any part of their venture for which they collect revenue, but if it's just charitable work, they don't have to pay taxes. Some nonprofits have a vested interest in running themselves such that they pay very high salaries to their top leaders, and that shows up in the fact that not all of their money that they collect is actually going toward the good that they do. There's a lot of ways that you can hide that, though, in a nonprofit. You can have an endowment which covers really high salaries, and then every dime they collect can be said to have gone to the good that they're doing. Mm. And there are some very big nonprofits that I think abuse the nonprofit system to pay high corporate salaries. But that's my opinion. I think if you're running a 990, you should be doing it for charitable intentions and not really for high corporate salaries.
There has been, David, talk in the General Assembly over the past couple of years about the abolition, I believe, just getting rid of the corporate tax at Virginia at the state level. It's run into resistance, and probably for the sorts of reasons we've been talking about earlier today. But what would happen to Virginia if that happened? What would be the impact of that?
Since state tax rates are generally a lot lower than federal tax mm-hmm. rates, it would help, but it wouldn't help quite as much as a federal tax rate reduction. But you would find the states that have favorable corporate tax structures have more businesses who incorporate in that state, and that does provide them with more business because there's just a certain amount of things that need to be done. So that's why you see a lot of corporations, you know, all going to Delaware, for example, because Delaware has some favorable corporate tax structures. So, but in terms of doing business in Virginia, it would make Virginia a more attractive locale to do business. Anytime you lower taxes, I mean, even just the Albemarle County taxes, I figured out if I move outside the county districts, mm-hmm. I could make a tremendous amount more money because they have some federally, some onerous tax structures and onerous record keeping structures.
They certainly do. Let's go back to the phones. Boy, they're starting to light up now. John, go right ahead. We've got just a little bit of time left with David Murata.
Okay, my name is John. I have a general question about economics. You hear periodically it said that corporations, and some of the largest, don't pay any income tax. And I realize that what we call loopholes are a way to re-energize the economy. But the question comes up, why lower the corporate tax rate if, in fact, they're hardly paying anything to start with?
Okay, good question. Let's get a response.
Yeah, John, that's a great question, which I wanted to get to. So I was talking about the top marginal tax rates. Do corporations actually pay that much in tax? No. Many large corporations leave their earnings overseas. But smaller United States-bound businesses do pay that much in tax because they can't avoid it. Therefore, they can't compete because they're local and they're bound to the U.S. I looked at the statistics, and every country's corporations pay less than the top marginal rate, even if it's just because they're moving up through the brackets. So if you look at the effective rate, the global effective rate is 16%, and the United States is 27.6. So we're more than 10% over the effective rate of the rest of the world, even in the effective rate. Now, the effective rate of 27.6 means that about one quarter of the companies in the United States pay more than the 35% because they've got state and other taxation, state taxation on top of that. So about a quarter of the companies pay more than the 35%, 75% pay less. The media always seems to find the five companies which are not paying very much in corporate tax, usually because they've had a terrible year, they've left any profits they have overseas, they actually have a loss for the year, and you see corporations do that. That's when their stock really takes a stumble. But I don't think just because one company didn't have any tax because they had a huge loss and they had to write stuff off and they did things like that, which are all perfectly legal, I don't think that just because one company pays zero tax, that means we need to assume that all the companies pay zero tax. A quarter of them are paying more than the 35% rate. And that's the same with people. If you look at people, 43% of individuals pay no federal income tax. So the individual rate of paying 0% is much, much higher. They have to name individual companies that 1 year don't pay any tax in order to make it sound like corporations are making out like bandits and we really need to stick it to them and close down their loopholes. What do you want to do with a corporation that has overseas ventures and leaves it overseas? If our corporate tax rate was lower, they would move that back to the United States. And even President Obama suggested having a corporate tax holiday so that they could bring those revenue back to the United States. And even he suggested lowering the corporate tax rate. He and Paul Ryan were working on that together. They both agreed, and Obama could not get it past the Democratic Congress. And that seems like a more extreme position, is to not lower the corporate tax rate at all.
Boy, we've got a lot that's been left on the table, so we can continue this conversation perhaps in the new year. David Morata, thank you so much for joining us here today. He's online at moratahonmoney.com, and you can contact him there. Really appreciate it, David.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.